Good morning. Good morning. It's Friday morning. We're heading into a holiday, sort of holiday weekend, right? As we warm up for, it could warm up for anything. It's 16 degrees out. So looking up for a little warm up would be nice. I'm warming up here off the air with the sheriff of Bristol County, Paul Haru. We're talking about all kinds of stuff, including projected TVs. You like projection TVs over traditional TVs, Sheriff? Oh, let me put that microphone on. That'd be better for the audience.
Now I'm on. There we go. Yeah, so no, it's not a TV that I have. It's a projector, an ultra short throw. Okay. So we were just, I don't even know how it came up. You know, we were just, you know, bantering.
We're talking about books, and you said books, about, yes. I don't read fiction. If I want to read fiction, I'll just watch a movie.
That's what it was, yes. So I said, I don't actually have a TV. I have a projector at home.
Yes.
It's, you know, so that's what I use.
What kind of movies do you like?
I like all types of movies. I'll give you my top seven.
All right.
Okay, top seven. Braveheart, Gladiator, Goodwill Hunting, Unforgiven, Silence of the Lambs, Interstellar. And then as a seventh one, you could probably throw in any number of different movies, but Arrival was really good. There was also, Gran Torino.
Yes.
That's one with Clint Eastwood. Not Gran Turismo, but Gran Torino, slightly different movie. But that's another really good one, too. It's just very well done.
We have the sheriff of Bristol County here, and if you want to reach him, you can. It's 508-996-0500. Mass Sheriff's Association gave out some awards. Talk about these. I recognize some familiar names here, people you brought into the show. Mm-hmm. Sam Raposa, Alyssa Pearley.
Alyssa Pearley, yep.
Talk about those.
Yeah, so the Mass Sheriff's Association is the association of the 14 sheriffs of Massachusetts, 13 of whom have jails. And the they have an executive staff, and so every sheriff's office nominates people for different awards. And you know, I put Owen Bebo, he's the chief of staff, in charge of that.
You guys know him from the Tolkien series, but anyway, go ahead.
Same guy, yep, yeah. Same guy. So so Owen, you know, I nominates people. He works with Joe Oliver, the superintendent, sure. Jody Hockert Lotz, the assistant superintendent. I'm sorry, no, I misspoke. Not the assistant. She's a chief of inmate services. And they, you know, give Owen names. Owen submits them to the Mass Sheriff's Association. And then the sheriffs and the executive staff, I believe, then they, you know, all of them, they vote on who the winners are going to be. And, so the two people, one of them was Sam Raposa, got Supervisor of the Year. It's a kind of non-traditional supervisor, though, because what he's doing is he's recruiting people. As you know, he's a recruiter.
Yes.
And so he's... you know, in a way, supervising a lot of the recruits as they're coming in, you know, before they even start. So
yep.
There is that supervision effect. Not a traditional supervisor, but it's a little bit of a different one. And then on top of that, we have Alyssa Pearley, who is a dispatcher. And when that big fire happened in Fall River, you know, the one at the senior home,
it
was
yes.
When she was working dispatch, she continued to help place victims in the hospitals, and she then also was continuing to do her regular dispatch duties. So she did everything seamlessly, no problem. She handled it like a pro, and she really helped out with that effort. So the MSA recognized the two of them, and you know, everybody voted on those two, and that's what was got a little bit of recognition for employees. You know, the thing is, there's a lot more employees that could get recognition. The stuff that people don't even know that happens.
Right.
There's things that happen to like regular COs, regular, you know, like supervisors, captains, lieutenants that never even really, you know, they're kind of beat up emotionally, verbally, you know, the stress level for them every day. It takes a toll on them, and they don't get any recognition for that. So that's why I give them a shout out right now. You know, it's when somebody wins an award, it's not so much in my mind. It's not so much that person, like in isolation, gets and deserves an award. They're kind of representing everybody who's involved in the organization and, you know, or that unit or that effort that gets
sure.
the, you know, it's getting recognized. That's the nice thing is that somebody, you know, people get recognized.
People do get recognized, good and bad.
Yes.
Good and bad. Sheriff, you had speaking of new people, you had an academy graduation, 29 new corrections officers graduated.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Okay. So on average, we're graduating around 30 people each class, you know, and, that is, you know, we're just doing things differently now than we have in years past. That is, it's, it's useful to help put more people on, because then the way the forced overtime is done, mm-hmm. then the new class that just graduates, they then are the ones forced first. And so the people that have been getting forced that since the last class, they get a little more seniority, and ultimately people get a little bit more of a little bit of a break. But it's not just that. It's not just the, you know, we can open more posts. We can, you know, reduce the forced overtime. It's just a safer environment for everybody. So we're trying to, as you know, we've had Sam in here before. Yeah. We're trying to bring in more and more people every class. And at the request of the union, we're not going to do two classes a year. We're getting about 60 people a year. Okay. And we were doing about 30 and 30. But the union asked, they said, hey, can you just do like three classes instead of two? So we're still going to bring in 60, but it'll be 20-20-20. The advantage is that you put people on sooner than if you just do two.
Sure.
So we accommodated the union. It wasn't an unreasonable, it was a fine request. And so it wasn't a terrible idea. And so we're going to do that.
The men and women who work on the job, they have a lot of knowledge. So taking suggestions from them seems very reasonable.
Yeah.
Seems quite smart, actually.
Oh, yeah. Most of the things that we do, they don't originate with me. It's kind of just a handful of big ticket items. That's what I like, the stuff that originates with me. And even then, like, that's, you know, like, I never make decisions alone. Like, and, you know, but most things that happen are recommendations. People pass things up, and you know, then we talk about them. A lot of my ideas, I come up with ideas and I present them to senior staff. Sound like a good idea, but then it's too problematic to implement. So a lot of times, you know, my stuff is like, that doesn't even materialize.
508-996-0500. You ought to get your headphones on. We're going to go to the phones. We've got a bunch of people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Hello, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, sir.
Hey, how we doing? This is Manny Soares.
Hey, Manny, how you doing? Out.
Pretty good. I'm actually in the machine right now.
Manny's out of jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in a machine. Could you maybe cut the machine off so we can hear you?
Turn it off.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Manny Soares, formerly of the Bristol County House of Correction and currently on the Westport Board of Selectmen. You're on the air.
I'm also planning board member. I'm in my second term of that. We don't get paid for that one, but fortunately, as a selectman, I got paid enough to do my canteen anyway. I was making $140 a week in there. So, but it feels good to be out. I'm just a little disappointed that the only contact, you know, after former Mayor John Bullard talked to the sheriff and told him have him write me a letter. I mean, I really wish he would at least tried calling me instead of shutting my phone off and all this other stuff, because I couldn't write him a letter at that time. I probably went in there 21 days without a phone call or without a letter or pencil or anything like that. So that was my problem in there. And it's, I don't know, it's a little disturbing, but it feels good to be out. I'm out for the holidays. I got out just before Thanksgiving so I could celebrate it with my mother. But it feels good to be out.
And hey, your mom kept us updated here on the program. You got a great mother there, Manny. You really do. I'm sure you're thankful for that.
Yeah, she's been, she's kind of the matriarch. You know, when her father passed away in 1972, she got up and with her two brothers ran the company that, you know, her father started in the 20s. So she stepped it up for, she actually owns my companies that I had. You know, she stepped it up to try to keep them going while I was in there. But at 82 years old, you know, it was a little munch. It was enough for her just to be able to get me out, you know?
Yes. So,
like she says, when I get home, she says, if I didn't live it, I wouldn't believe it. You know, we're five generations in Bristol County, businessmen, you know, starting doing exactly what I do. So it was a little hard to understand what just went on, but hopefully we're moving forward. We got an election year coming up, and I really look forward to getting out there. And like I said, I'm going to run for selectman again. I'm not going to go with that state rep seat, but I got some good people out there to back, and I'm going to be out there trying to help some people get elected and make some changes.
Manny,
thanks for giving me the time.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you, my friend, and good luck. Try to stay out of trouble if that's possible. I don't know all the circumstances that got you into the House of Correction over there at the jail. We have the sheriff of Bristol County here in studio. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, good. I just have a question for the show.
Okay.
Canteen, right? Mm-hmm. How come it's so much money? And where does the money go? Because I know a lot of people that are incarcerated there. And I'm also one of... I was a house guest of Tom Hodgson years ago. But where does the money go from the canteen? Because one of them crappy things is soup, right? You can get a bunch of them outside of Walmart, Market Basket, for cheap. But in there, they want over $1.50, $2 for one little thing of... And that stuff will kill you. You read the ingredients, it's no good.
What kind of soup did you like when you were locked up?
What was I doing?
No, what kind of soup did you like? I know it's not great, but what was your favorite soup that you'd get from the canteen, my friend?
I liked the shrimp. The shrimp was good. The Tabasco was good. Hey, you got to eat something because they served you. Come on. I came out fatter than when I went in. But it's because all the junk I ate in there, because the meals they give you, I mean, I wouldn't even feed it to my dog.
Well, you like your dog, right? The sheriff likes his dog. I like my dog. So you came out of there fatter than you went in?
Yes, I did. Because there's nothing there to do but sit in your cell all day. They don't educate you in the jail. And if you look at all the people that work there, there should be a weight limit of like, hey, you want to be a sheriff officer or whatever, a screw. Well, that's when I was in state. I'm sorry. But you want to be a jail holder, they should have a weight limit because some of them, it's horrible.
You thought the guards, you thought the corrections officers were too fat? I have that complaint too about it, but I only see them out on the street. Not all of them. The sheriff's pretty lean.
Yeah, because he's eating good food.
Yeah, he does eat pretty good. Well, when he eats. Hey, thanks for the call, my friend. Always entertaining. Have a good, nice Friday.
So I think that caller had said she was a guest under Tom Hodgson.
Yeah, and, he was.
Things have, some things have changed. You know, the food, we are no longer using a contract vendor to do the food. We are producing it in-house now, and that allows us to cut out the middle person's profit. And by doing that, it allows us to pay those food workers a little bit better.
Hey, talk about the canteen. I forgot about this question. Yeah. I got so caught up in that conversation. Go ahead.
So, the canteen, that's a for-profit industry. It's capitalism. And we have a... like a vendor, Keith, who comes in and will, Trinity, not Keith. Where is it, Trinity or Keith? I always forget those. Keith, it's Keith. Yeah, Keith. Keith comes in and they provide, the canteen for inmates to purchase.
People who've never been incarcerated, it's like a little store that inmates can shop at, right? Explain.
Yes, but it's not, it's more like Amazon store. It's not like a store you can go to and purchase stuff off like a Cumberland Farms shelves or anything.
Okay.
You put in an order for stuff and then it gets sent to you. And it's stuff like Doritos and ramen and, different types of, personal effects, like soap or toothpaste. So there's different things people can buy and the family can put money on their account. So that is something that we don't make any money off that. There, historically, the jail and all the jails in the DOC did, but the legislature brought the commission to an end. So we know, and actually there used to be a commission on phone calls as well. We can talk about that. But the what we used to make a little bit of money on the sales of either the phone calls or the canteen, that no longer happens. So basically they they make it's just a company making a profit. Mm-hmm. And it's the same company that is pretty much used, I think, in almost all the jails in the DOC. I don't know if anybody else is doing it.
I guess he was complaining about the prices.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's not something we can, we can ask them to reduce the, I don't know if they, how much they would come down, because we can't force them to do that unless we say, okay, we're going to go with a different vendor, but I don't know if there is another vendor available.
Really?
So I don't know of any. That doesn't mean there isn't, but I, it's, this is the vendor who most of the jails that the DOC uses. So, but the, in terms of the markup of on the canteen, if you think about it, there's a little bit more involved with getting that into a jail, so maybe that's part of why it costs a little bit more money to do these things. With the inmate, the inmates,
if you don't like it, don't eat the Doritos.
Well, yeah, I don't care for Doritos anyway myself, but the officers, though, I also have we have vending machines, And I would like to move the vending machines, get those off of a for-profit company and move those over to where we actually buy our own vending machines and we stock them ourselves. Because right now, if we went to BJ's and bought a box of Hershey chocolate bars or a box of Skittles and we were to sell those.
Who owns the vending machines?
The company. We don't own them right now.
No, I know, but who's the company?
Prestige. So that's who we have a
Prestige
contract.
Worldwide?
Yeah, Prestige. We have,
that's Prestige who we have a, Worldwide is worldwide. In the jail?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same, but there's different Prestige companies.
This there one's certainly not, is.
This one is also Prestige.
Is Prestige Auto. Worldwide?
I don't know if it's Prestige.
Were they involved in a boat accident? Do you know?
I have no idea. No.
No? All right.
But yeah, we're trying. I would like to reduce the cost of the, vending machines, you know, the candy and stuff, the snacks that people buy for the officers, you know, by doing it in-house. And so I've seen a box of chocolate bars at BJ's, each bar will cost you a dollar. If you go and buy them in our vending machines right now, it'll cost you like $2.50 or something. So what I'd like to do is just eliminate the middle person, do it ourselves at no cost. And that way when officers go and purchase something, they're not paying for a for-profit company. They're not getting, you know, they're not paying for that.
They're not additional money.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So we'll just sell it to them at cost. That's what I'd like to do. And it's just a matter of getting there. So we had a conversation about that as recent as I think earlier this week or last week. Working on it though.
The state Senate has set up a special commission mm-hmm. on the sheriff's budgets. You're in the legislature. Mm-hmm. It's our own sheriff, our own, Senator Mike Rodericks, the chairman of Ways and Means, he's been particularly vocal about this. Your reaction?
Well, I'm going to speak just about my jail because my jail is the same process applies to all the jails. And, you know, the DOC is also in the same situation. The state has a balanced budget requirement. It's law. We have to, the legislature has to pass a balanced budget. And I'm going to make up a number of, I think it's around $60 billion, maybe $65 billion. It's of that magnitude. I forget exactly what it is, but it's of that magnitude. And the expenses for running the state exceed what that actual budget is. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different things you can do. You could cut services, you can raise taxes, or you can be a little bit creative as when you fund things and look at what revenues are going to come in. So at the beginning, before the fiscal year starts, we submit a request for funding. We said we needed $72 million to run the jail. And that accounts for everything from soup to nut, whole thing. You know, overtime, COLAs, no-cost communication, so-called no-cost, there was cost. But the MAT program, everything. It covers, you know, maintenance. So they came back, we said we need $72 million. They said, we're going to give you $61 million, and we'll do a supplemental budget later in the year. That's how it's done every year. That's how it was done when I was a state rep.
Okay.
That's normal. That's the annual process, because they have to balance the budget so they don't fund us all up front. And then what happens is when we go this year, when we went and asked for our supplemental budget, because they did not fund the no-cost calls in our initial budget. They didn't put that in there. It was roughly $2 million. They didn't put in there the MAT program, you know, methadone, you know, medically assisted treatment. They didn't put in the COLAs for the correction officers. They said, we'll get you later. And normally they always do. But this year, for some reason, they said, we gave you $61 million. Why are you spending more than $61 million? It's like, come on. We go through this every year. You guys give us you always underfund us from the beginning with the understanding it's going to be made up at the back end. And that's, you know, and if going forward, they're only going to give us $61 million, fine, I'll run the organization with $61 million. But we are not, if they don't put money in for phone calls, we're not doing phone calls. If they don't put money in for the medically assisted treatment program, we're not doing that. If they don't put money in for the COLAs, fine. You is authorized, but not funded. People are going to get paid what they are funding us at. And there is, you know, the legislature, their phones are going to blow up. That's what's going to happen, you know, because I'll run the organization with whatever money they give me. But that means there's going to have to be cuts because, you know, we can't raise revenues on our own. I mean, we do with the civil program, but that's, you know, like $30,000 a month, you know, we raise, or the law enforcement collaborative where people are, deputies are doing details. But that's like stuff on the margins. That's not going to account for this. But a moment ago, with the last caller, I had said that we no longer take a commission for the phone calls or the canteen.
Right.
That was money we used to have a revenue stream coming in. We don't have that anymore. The legislature, you know, prevented that. So we basically said, at my jail. I said, we need $72 million. They said, here's $61. I said, okay, we'll get it like we do every year under Tom. There's no secrets here, nothing shady. It's just that's just how it was done. But now they're saying, well, you're overspending. It's like, we're not overspending. You knew we needed this stuff in advance. It's a little bit disingenuous to say, oh, you're where is this coming from? And then the arguments sort of morph. They say, well, it's so much more. You guys are asking for so much more than in previous years when you asked for a supplemental budget. To which I respond, well, that's because the legislature authorized pretty generous COLAs. You know, that because they were trying to get people caught up. And so, yeah, they are, it's going to be more because the COLAs, you know, cost of living for their, go down to their salaries is more. But I welcome the inspector general to come in and look at our books at the jail. We're lean. We're not doing anything outside of corrections, not that I can think of. You know, I got rid of a lot of programs that had nothing to do with corrections, right. Stuff that Department of Developmental Disabilities should do or local police departments should do, Council on Aging should do. I got rid of stuff that wasn't corrections focused, and I brought those resources back in. We hired people to help out with inmates, inmate advisors, more post-release workers. So, but I do welcome the legislature or anybody for that matter to look at what we're spending money on. There's nothing in there that's like not necessary. It's all dedicated to corrections.
We're speaking with Sheriff Paul Haru, Bristol County Sheriff. Sheriff, of course, Mike Roddick is right up the road in Westport, mm-hmm. and he represents Freetown and all mm-hmm. over here. Have you had a chance to talk to him about it?
Oh, yeah. He and I have talked many times. He came to the jail over a year ago. I showed him around. I told him, and I really was putting a push for getting money to put locks on doors and toilets and cells first. Then you can put locks on doors. And, you know, one of the things that we've I've been asking for that for 2.5 years from the legislature, and we haven't gotten it, but there's two things that are happening at the same time. If you put locks on doors and toilets and cells, you have a safer facility at Ash Street, but then you can also close Ash. I'm sorry, I misspoke. You have a safer facility in Dartmouth, but then you can close Ash Street. We can't close Ash Street until we put locks on doors in at least 3 housing units. And if we did that, then we could, we know which 3, B&D wing of the Women's Center, as well as, GB. If we did that, we could close Ash Street. But we now have something in writing from an architect firm that said, okay, this, and it's itemized and everything, and people can request it. I'm going to be doing a press release and putting it out there. I'm going to submit this to the media. But, if people wanted it, they could still do public records and we'll give it to them. But how much would it cost to put locks on doors in 3 housing units? $10 million. If we did that, BD, made that the regionals, and then you do that in GB, it's another housing, put the other mates in GB, we could close Ash Street. That's $10 million. It sounds like a lot of money, but here's how it pays for itself between 2 and 3 years.
Okay.
It costs about, $4 million a year in salaries, roughly $4 or $5 million a year, I forget the exact number, to do the salaries at Ash Street. So if we were to bring those employees back, about 10 employees would have to go to working the GB housing unit. But then we could bring everybody else back, and even some, there will be some attrition. Some people don't want to go back and work at Dartmouth. Ash Street is a little more calm, a little quieter. So we will have some, but everybody that's left over, that will reduce the forced overtime. So the savings from the reduced forced overtime, plus the maintenance, plus the utilities, that adds up to about $10 million in between years 2 and 3. So it's an investment. Everything after that, you're now in the black. You're actually saving money.
Right.
You're saving the state money. So there's really no good reason not to do it. We can close Ash. We can operate a safer.
So what's the legislature's problem?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
And it's priorities. We have over $60 billion. We can spend money on anything. We can't afford everything. But with $60 billion, you can afford anything. And it's just, how you spend your money is just like how you spend your time. It's all about priorities.
Right.
So this, I've been told by the legislature, well, you have to go through DCAM, Division of Capital Asset Management, get that. That's one way to do it. I've also been told you got to do that in a bond bill. But then if you look at what happened recently with the speaker, he got a $25 million parking garage in Quincy. And that was put in the operating budget. And that's a capital improvement. It's a bricks and mortar issue. So it's possible to do it, just do it as a one-time appropriation. Here's $10 million, put locks on doors, put toilets in cells, bring the inmates back from Ash Street and close it. And then there's also the value to the state of selling that property. And, they can do whatever they want. They could turn it into a museum. They could, you know, turn it into public housing. They could sell it to private housing.
There's a lot of options for it.
Yeah, I'll let the mayor and the city council and the state delegation figure that out.
You know, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can really feel overwhelming. But with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions. Whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps, they even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. We'll be back with more with the Sheriff of Bristol County. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Now I wish I was somewhere other than here.
A lot of people probably feel that way, right, Sheriff? When you get them, they wish they were somewhere other than here, the jail. Oh, here we go. Sheriff Paul Haru.
Yeah, so I think for the most part, yeah, but there's some people that are institutionalized. They want to have three hot meals, a warm place to stay, medical care. They want that. So some people, they go out, they come right back. And
have you ever seen the movie Brubaker? We were talking about movies earlier. Brubaker?
I did. I saw that. It was actually when I go on WARA in Attleboro. Paul Healy, he suggested I watch that, and I finally got around to seeing it maybe about 6 or 9 months ago.
So you banned the strap?
The strap.
You don't have the strap anymore out there?
The strap. No, we don't have the strap. I think that was banned before I got there.
I don't think Tom had it either.
I don't think so.
Yeah. No. You know, for over 50 years, Bass Ready Rooter has been the trusted name in drain cleaning and septic maintenance all across New Bedford, Fall River, Dartmouth, all over the place. From emergency clogs to hydro jetting, in camera inspections, the expert team at Bass Ready Rooter delivers solutions the right way with honesty and respect. Bass Ready Rooter, they may not be your first call, but they'll always be your last call. Visit bassready.com for all your sewer and septic problems and solutions. All right, Sheriff, we have a bunch of people on hold who want to speak with you.
Cool.
Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question. Phil Paleologos had donated the Shawmut Diner to the sheriff. What happened to that?
Okay, good question. It sat there for about 10 years, and the diner was just a shell. There was really nothing in it. There was no table. There was no cooking equipment. It was. It would have probably cost, you know, for kitchen equipment is expensive. Probably around. I think it was the estimate was around $750,000 to $900,000 to properly put kitchen equipment in that small thing.
How much?
$750,000 to $900,000. I think is the number I heard.
Thousand.
Yeah,
almost $1 million.
Yeah, almost $1 million. Yeah, $750,000 to $1 million. To put stuff in there. And then I think the idea was that it was going to be a culinary program. But it sat there for 10 years. And when I got to the jail, I mean, the thing was falling apart. It was rotting away. So we ended up, there's a proper process to dispose of government property. And we ended up selling that to somebody who bought it. They came down and they, I don't remember what they bought it for. It might've been $50,000 or something really small like that. But the person was from Connecticut. And this was all public. There was a public auction for it. And, you know, I don't even know who the person is. But they bought it. This guy brought it. And he took it away to Connecticut. And I don't know what's happening with it now, if they've turned it into a retro diner. But it's no longer on the campus.
All right. That was a good question. Mm-hmm. Let's go. We got another call here. Good morning. Oh. I don't know what happened to that person. All right.
Maybe they'll call back.
they maybe they'll call back. That's all right. We got to take a break anyway. We have the sheriff of Bristol County, Paul Haru, here, taking your calls at 508-996. So remember, only one call per segment, please. All right. Well, that guy just come. Let me see. We'll go to the phones. Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Good morning, Chef Hero. I have a tough question because for you, actually two tough questions for you, and I know you like tough questions. First of all, some months ago you were at the No King rally. Yep. Do you believe Donald Trump is a king? And the other thing is, are you part of the Coalition for Social Justice? And who funded for that get-together? Actually, that's three questions. Do you believe Donald Trump is king? Are you part of the Coalition for Social Justice? And who funded that rally?
Okay, so Trump has some... Maybe actually, I'm going to answer it this way. I'm going to answer your question with a yes or no in a moment. I had somebody from Saudi Arabia at my house the other night. And, you know, he was there. He was, you know, he was a friend of a friend. And, you know, he's, you know, we were just talking about how things are right now. And I've lived in Saudi Arabia as well. And the way we were describing how things are going right now, he's, you know, I just was describing, he said, this sounds just like how things are done with a king in Saudi Arabia. He just drew that conclusion on his own. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now with the Trump administration where they're not listening to courts. I think there's a lot of examples of that. Due process is being ignored in a lot of times. You know, so there's a lot of king-like behavior. So that, I think, is, you know, it's my opinion. I'm entitled to that. But, you know, we can, there's different lines of evidence I could point to. If you wanted me to put together a full, like, 30, 40, 50-page report with examples, we could do that, but I think the examples are out there. I think also part of the issue is...
I would like to see that report.
Well, I'm not going to do a 30, 40, 50
page report. Just said you would.
I said if I were to. If I were to.
You said if you wanted to.
Yeah.
If I wanted to.
I'm not going to actually spend... All you have to... Here's what
so
you
it's
do.
It's just hyperbole.
Yeah, it's hyperbole. So, well, the thing about being... about finding 30, 40, 50 pages worth of examples. Yeah, that's possible. I mean, because what's happening right now is people are being informed based on the news sources they watch.
Yeah. So I'll just finish up. Yeah. So the question is, are you part of the Coalition for Social Justice?
No, I'm not one of the members. Coalition, CSJ, you know, they were supporters of mine. I like a lot of the work they do. I believe in a lot of the work they do. I think they're looking out for people who are, you know, really trying to make their lives better. And, you know, so no two people are going to ever agree on everything. No two, you know, it's just, you know, but I can't think of anything specifically I don't agree with them on. But, you know, if we would go through an itemized
phone
list.
Calls?
Well, okay, so I do support giving inmates some access to calls, but not unlimited. I've never said unlimited is the way to go. I've always drawn, you know, concern about having, you know, like this being unlimited, because it's just unlimited is unreasonable. There's no reason to have it be unlimited. So I've arranged, and I worked on a bill with Adam Scanlon. Do we ever talk about that bill I filed with Adam Scanlon?
I have no idea. We didn't talk about it. I don't remember. Okay. I don't know Adam Scanlon.
He's a state rep from North Attleboro. Yeah. So he filed a bill for me that would put a floor of no less than 15 minutes a day on phone calls, but a ceiling of no more than 60 minutes.
Okay.
And then the sheriffs get to decide what's in, like what they do is what will be done for their jail. So the answer is yes. You know, I think Trump has a lot of king-like tendencies. I think, you know, the people who write the history books are going to document that for me. I don't need to write that. They're doing it for me. But then you also have the Coalition of Social Justice. We are allies. That we are. And what was the third question? I forgot the third question.
Who paid for the No Kings rally?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm not even sure what there is to pay for, because people just like park in a parking lot and they show up and they hold signs. Now, I will say I don't agree, and I'm totally against the people who are saying defund the police. Totally against that. That's ridiculous. You know, or, you know, like, police have a tough enough job to do. But I would also point out, though, people who show up for the No Kings rallies and hold those signs, they're a minority. But then you also have people who show up at Trump rallies, and they will have white supremacist signs.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so...
here in Bristol County?
I don't know about... I don't know how many Trump rallies we've had in Bristol County, but I've seen Trump rallies where you have people, you know, holding... in Confederate flags. You know, they, you know, you know, remember famously, Jews will not replace us. Jews will not replace us.
No, I don't remember any of that. Where's that from? That Nazi Germany?
No, that was here in the United States.
Where was that?
What's your... What was it? Charlottesville. Thank you, Hadley. Yeah, Charlottesville and Hadley. Right,
but that's where we don't live anywhere near Charlottesville.
No, but
let's concentrate on stuff we can control, not examples that don't really matter to the people in the sound of my voice.
Exactly. So the So
I'll give you an example. Right down the street here, there was a No Kings rally, and the guy had a sign that said, "Better snipers needed." The Matterpoise, the police are currently investigating.
Good.
That's the kind of stuff I want to concentrate on.
I agree, and I reject that.
But that's
that stuff.
A local example. I mean, you know, Charlottesville, that doesn't matter to us.
Well, it's happening here in the United States.
I know, but Sheriff, come on. I mean, let's concentrate on what's happening within our local area of control.
When I find an example, because I'm not tracking this stuff. I mean, you come across examples in the news,
right.
But if I know of any examples locally, and I'm sure there's some listeners out
Shoot
there
me
saying,
a text.
Saying, Paul, here's an example. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, 'cause I'm not tracking this stuff, I do. There are examples of, people on the right being extreme, just like there are examples of people
on the left.
We're
going to take a break. We'll be right back. Guys, stick around. We'll be right back. More with the Sheriff.
Oh. South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Billy Voltaire was a piano player up from Miami way. He used to play in the bars. He could sound like a star.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Chris McCarthy. Hey, it's cold out there. You better get that cracked windshield fixed. I recommend Citywide Glass. Right? Citywide, they'll come right out to your home. You don't have to go to them. All you got to do is make a phone call. Call them in Dartmouth. Call them in Fall River. Tell them, I got a cracked windshield. They're going to bill your insurance company. All insurance is accepted, so it won't cost you any money. They'll send their mobile tech team right out to your home or your work parking lot. Get that cracked windshield corrected today. You can also book an appointment on Citywide Glass, citywideglass.net. All right, we have the sheriff of Bristol County here in the studio. Sheriff, what else is going on out there at the jail? I noticed that you have a toy drive coming up.
The toy drive is something that's done annually. It started before I got there, and it's organized by the canine unit. The canine unit collects toys from people all over the area. And then they donate them do you remember that group?
JRI.
JRI, Justice Resource Institute. And they bring in hundreds and hundreds of toys, thousands of dollars worth of toys. And these aren't old, broken, beat-up toys, used stuff. This is stuff that's still in their packages, and people buy this stuff. And Hadley, what are the details on when, because Hadley's here with me, what's the details on when people can drop stuff off at the canine unit?
Tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the canine unit will be in their office at 400 Fonts Corner Road accepting donations for children of all ages as long as the gifts are unwrapped. And those will be dropped off next week to JRI to go to kids for the holiday season who are in the foster care or adoption program. So we'll be accepting the gifts until Tuesday, but tomorrow is the big drop-off day.
Sounds good. Guys, you want to get out there and help a kid out? Sure.
Yeah. So that's something. I actually thought of an example of somebody who, if you want to go back to the thing we were talking about a moment ago, or we just want to let it go. But there was somebody I could think of that was running for office locally who was under a lot of scrutiny for his political views.
Sure. Go ahead.
This is all in the Sun Chronicle, in the newspaper, the Sun Chronicle.
Good.
There's a candidate running who's a write-in candidate for
mayor.
He got 25% of the vote.
That's
pretty good for write-in candidate. But he was running as a write-in candidate for mayor in Attleboro this last election cycle. He had a picture of a T-shirt that said, on the ring, Rhode Island Boxing Club. And on the inside, it had the Nazi SS sign.
And 25% of the people in Attleboro wrote him in?
Yeah. So
what does that say about Attleboro? So for real, I mean, I never heard of any of this.
It was in the Sun Chronicle. I'll send you the links for this. But what it was, so interestingly, though, it said, so we talked about like Nazis locally. And I'm not saying this gentleman is a Nazi, but the shirt, what he said is, well, this was a Rhode Island Boxing Club shirt. So I Google searched Rhode Island Boxing Club. Because I haven't been involved in martial arts most of my life. I had never heard of this place. Right. Rhode Island Boxing Club doesn't exist. And what that is just kind of a cover for, you know, that. So this is an Attleboro person, Bristol County person,
right.
You know, and it was, you know, but that this was covered in the Sun Chronicle. People could look it up, but it was, you know, the SS from, you know, the Nazis.
Yeah, the Nazis.
Yeah, but he was wearing
a t-shirt. But it doesn't really exist.
He was wearing a t-shirt. The Rhode Island Boxing Club doesn't, but what I, doing a Google search for this, what I found was that a lot of people use that Massachusetts Boxing Club or Minnesota Boxing Club, and then they'd have the SS in there just as cover to sport that SS logo, which is... very inappropriate, you know. I mean, we in World War II, we tried to get rid of those guys.
Yes, but it doesn't really exist, is what you're saying.
There's no such place as the Rhode Island Boxing Club. Yeah,
I gotta take a break. We'll be out of here, and we gotta take a break. We'll be right back. I mean, we were having a good time with the sheriff. We won't see you again till Christmas or after Christmas.
After January, yes.
Yes. January. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you as well. Yeah, and it's okay to say that. You're not going to get in trouble with me.
I don't have any problem. I say it all the time,
Sheriff. I'm not saying Merry Christmas. Some people are happy holidays. You can say both. Say whatever you want.
Happy Hanukkah, just Merry Christmas, whatever you say.
Stop being so offended.
Yes.
You know,
Thank you.
If you're not, some people, though, if you don't get offended, somebody will be offended for you. If you're not, don't worry.